Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I started out and I really didn't know what would happen, how Ruby would be, whether it would work. And, you know, I feel so, you know, I've been so surprised by the opportunities that do present themselves when you put yourself out there.
You're listening to Women Tech Charge from the Evening Standard with me, Anne-Marie Maffedon. What happens when you mix facials, manicures and tech? Can technology really get you that blow-dry stat? In this episode, I'm talking to a woman who's built a business around exactly that. She's also got beauty professionals using her platform to stay organised. Get comfortable, maybe pop a face mask on. We're getting started. I'm sat here, near High Street Kensington Tube Station, joined by a woman who is connecting people with stylists via her app, Ruby. It has 600 beautiful professionals who are beauty therapists using her technology, her SaaS model, got our buzzword there, couple of seconds in, to manage their work, their diaries, and beautify people across the world. Welcome, Venetia Archer, CEO of Ruby.
Thank you. Lovely introduction. Great to be here.
Thanks for coming. Ruby with two U's.
Yes, indeed.
The second U is important. Second U stands for?
Second U stands for, I don't quite know.
We can make it up.
Yeah, we can make it
Umbrella.
Up. Uniforms.
Do they have to wear uniforms?
Yeah, we've got Ruby jackets, t-shirts, nail files.
Oh, no way.
Tunics, yeah.
And it's like blush pink.
Exactly.
Not quite ruby, because ruby's a colour as well.
Yeah, it's not a ruby red, it's a blush pink.
It is a blush pink.
Last year we might have said a millennial pink, but,
I was
but not
say,
this year.
It's not quite,
no,
it's
done now.
Millennial is brighter.
Yeah, and I think no one really wants to be kind of, you know, thought of as the millennial pink anymore.
Well, you should tell the restaurant I went to in Shoreditch yesterday. Kitted the whole thing out, millennial pink and
oh my gosh,
rose gold.
Yeah,
they're still going for it as a vibe. So, what is the official elevator pitch for Ruby?
So Ruby is a platform that connects our clients with freelance beauty therapists across London. So clients can book a host of beauty services, hair, nails, massages, waxing, even things like vitamin drips and cosmetic injectables, all in the comfort of their home, office or hotel. So the way that we've built it is obviously we've got our customer-facing app, which offers a streamlined booking solution for our clients. But we've also built a SaaS-based portal called Ruby PA, which has been built around the sort of requirements of the freelance beauty therapist. So,
and SaaS stands for Software as a Service, just for those of you listening.
Indeed. So... So we've really tried to approach the solution. You know, we know that our customers want at-home beauty services, but mm-hmm. we also recognize that we need to develop something that the freelancers want to use, and it actually helps them, sort of improve their sort of
professional services, yeah, etc.
It's important supply and demand want to be on the platform.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so that's been something that we focus on the tech side. And really, you know, I think that the one thing that, you know, we've really sort of looked at right from the very beginning is ensuring super, super, super high quality standards. So we, you know, every single professional goes through an extensive vetting process, mm-hmm. 6-stage vetting process, which involves trade tests. So, you know, the perk of the job is getting a, you know, Manny in the office. but, you know, we really care about quality because obviously it's, you know, a super personal service having someone to come into your home. And we need to make sure that, you know, that it makes sense.
So if you want a legit reason for getting a Manny in the office, then working for Ruby, or they need to start their own Ruby?
Ooh.
People listening.
They can start their own Ruby, yeah, if they want.
Okay.
Or they can come work with
bit
us.
But healthy competition is good, I guess.
Yeah, that's all good. Yeah. We like that.
Awesome. And is it mostly offices? Is it mostly hotels? What does the split end up being? Just out of interest.
No, so it's majority just clients in their homes.
Oh, okay.
You know, we got, you know, it's a lot, lots of London-based users. The majority of our users are just sort of, yeah, you know, individuals.
Uh-huh.
And then we've got a strong network of hotel clients and also internationals coming into town. So, you know.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay.
Exactly.
So that's, they have used Ruby. No, when they come to London, they want to use Ruby because they trust who you've chosen.
Exactly.
As opposed to it being that it's available if you like go to Dubai.
No, exactly. And I think, you know, because they might not necessarily know where to go or who to see for their beauty services, and they come across Ruby either through recommendation or through a hotel concierge or a friend, you know, it's just quite a simple solution for people who don't know where the best place to go.
Yeah, and they trust you.
Exactly, yeah.
Put a lot of trust in your hands.
Yes, which we take very seriously.
Yeah, I have trust issues.
Do you? Well, you will not have a chip nail or a flat blow dry if you book with Ruby. But it depends. You know, it depends on the individual. You know, we appreciate that. You know, just like we like to go to restaurants or we like to order food in, that's the same with, you know, with clients who need beauty services. You go to the salon, you have it done at home. We're just offering a kind of another way of doing it.
Yes.
Yeah,
options.
There you go.
It's good to have options.
Yeah.
So a little birdie called the internet tells me that this isn't something that you've always done.
No.
You've not always been the CEO of Ruby. You did a couple other things beforehand.
Yes.
You studied at Cambridge.
Yep.
Boo. I'm joking. I went to Oxford.
Yeah.
We're not really allowed to be talking.
Oh my gosh.
At which college did you go to?
To Newnham.
Okay. That's the women's one.
Yes.
Ah, what did you study?
Social and political sciences.
I see how that connects to Ruby.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely, yes. Politics going straight into on-demand beauty bookings.
Oh. But then you were a journalist.
So then, yes, I went in. I sort of went in and sort of started my career in the private security advisory space. So, working with corporations to advise their clients, whether, you know, sort of big blue chip oil and gas firms or governments, you know, through these companies on security matters, whether it be for me, I was looking at maritime security, so Somali piracy. So
no way.
Whether it's advising shipping companies on the risks around Africa on Somali piracy, I did that. You know, I left university, had no idea what I wanted to do, yeah. Just like I didn't know what I wanted to do after school, but mm-hmm. kind of kept on trying to make the best decision at the time.
Yeah.
Best decision at the time was to get a job in a field that, you know, fit my career, you know, fit my education. So I did that. And then I grew up a little bit in those few years and learnt what I liked and I didn't like. And then, you know, one day I realised that I didn't want to be doing what I was doing anymore, and it wasn't as suited to me as it could be. And I'd always had this idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'd always been telling my friends, someone's got to do this app for on-demand beauty services. Like, come on, we've got Uber, we've got Deliveroo, you know, there's something there.
Did you have the idea pre-Uber?
Or it was either at the same time.
Okay.
It was probably at the same time. I don't think I had that, you know.
Well, you know, because that's a world exclusive.
That would be very cool. Yeah. And maybe I should have just said yes.
Yeah.
But I think I might have had a little bit of inspiration from the quote unquote greats.
Uh-huh.
And then very naively decided to do it.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And 3.5 years later, here we are.
Boom. So yeah. not that naive a move then.
Nah. No. It was good. You got there.
You're here.
Yeah.
You're Forbes 30 under 30,
yeah.
No less.
Yeah, no, it's been a hell of a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but still enjoying it.
Very much so. I mean, the goalposts constantly shift.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I launched the business, I said, okay, success equals one person booking one manicure on this app.
Ever.
I was like, you know what, if I get that done, because just getting the product up, getting it, I was like, you know, that'll be a tick.
Mm-hmm.
And then it changes, you know, and then it goes on to fundraising or numbers of users or whatever it might be. But, you know, just take it as it comes and just try and make the best decision at the time.
And fundraising, I think, is one of those things that people are always asking. When I said we were going to do this podcast, that's one of the things that came up, whereas, you know, secure the bag. How do you get the cash? How do you get the money in? How do you get investors to believe in what you're doing and prop money up? Because I think for growth and for scaling, it's something you need. But for a lot of people, they don't have those initial resources to say, I'm going to chuck in the towel and I'm just going to pursue solving this problem. How was the whole journey for you?
It was very iterative.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't all come at once. And when I launched Ruby, I quit my full-time job as it was and started working as a consultant. So I had some income and I could work 2 days a week doing that. And then I also applied for a Virgin Startup loan.
Mm-hmm.
So I got some cash there to actually create, you know, our MVP, you know, our minimal viable product, first app.
Yeah.
And then managed to get some traction off that, you know, off that loan and that, you know, I mean, it was terrible.
Was there PR that came with it as well?
No.
No.
Okay. No, I wouldn't have done that, because really what we needed to do was build a marketplace first.
Yeah.
So that was my greatest challenge, you know, having enough freelance therapists and clients.
How did you convince them? Did you do the Uber thing of like giving them money to switch to your service?
We actually didn't. And the way that we did it, so this is also talking about how we pivoted so much, was when we started, we did salons and at-home beauty therapists.
Right.
So we ended up, and this is an interesting thing for anyone looking to create a marketplace, working with third-party providers who already did at-home beauty services.
Yeah.
So we already had a network.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
While that wasn't going to be the way that we do it forever, at least it's helped us learn how to work, you know, how to improve the platform, et cetera, get ourselves on our feet.
Yep.
And then we started to recruit our own, and then we sort of built enough. And listen, this is over a long time. It took a long time, particularly because we hadn't received very much funding to actually get it to any tangible state, which, you know, we're at now and, you know, probably have been over, you know, the last 12 months. But it was a big scramble, which obviously impacts on, you know, challenges around fundraising. You've got to be hitting serious targets, you know, if you're at that stage.
Like they say it's like having another boss, effectively.
Yeah.
Your investors, you've got more KPIs, you've got almost more pressure.
For sure.
To have to kind of meet.
For sure.
To get the different tranches of funding in and all the rest of it. It kind of adds pressure rather than even necessarily making things easier.
I think so. It definitely adds pressure because you constantly want to deliver and you recognize that at some point, particularly in a business like this one, we're going to need another check down the line.
Mm.
So, you know, you need to perform. And in addition to looking at the company and running the company, it's also, you know, maintaining a steady stream of communication. Even when you fail, you know, at the beginning I thought, oh no, you know, something, you know, I remember we had a big, big fail around our tech at one point with the launch of a new app. And I was really worried about it, what it would mean, because the result of the issue with the tech meant that our bookings just declined massively. And I thought, oh God, is this the end? And then I was like, I communicated it and explained what happened. And everyone was fine because it picked
up. How far into the journey was this?
So this was about 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So right. A year and a half in.
Yeah. Okay.
But the thing is, it's about, you know, one, finding money in any way that you, you know, anywhere that you can, whether it's for a loan, a grant.
Beg, borrow, steal.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not
the stealing. The Evening Standard can't condone stealing.
Oh yeah,
it?
Absolutely not. Yeah. No, sorry. Oops. And then it's selling the vision and making sure that you've refined that vision and it will evolve. And, it, you know, the pitch that I have today is, you know, you wouldn't recognize it from the pitch on the first day because we've figured out, OK, what does the market need? What are we particularly good at? And what do our customers want?
Mm.
So, you know, really making sure you have that kind of ironed down at each stage of the conversation.
Have tastes changed a lot over 3.5 years, would you say? Because the other thing I always notice with beauty treatments is that there's always like a new thing coming out there's always like a new, I don't know, type of facial or chemical thing that people are putting on their faces or whatever else it might be. So has a lot changed even in terms of that side of supply since you started?
Definitely. So we're seeing a lot of therapists coming to us who do a whole host of different treatments that we haven't seen before, and all at home as well, whether it is from the peels or to using the kind of mechanical machines, the microneedling machines, you know, to really add that extra step, you know, with a, you know, deep cleansing and cleaning facial. You know, we have a lot of that, a lot more sort of experience in delivering those services at home. Then there's also the product. We do partner with different product brands to introduce new kinds of, you know, treatments on the app. And I'm constantly astounded, obviously, because my background wasn't beauty. I've really had to educate myself in it and be educated also by my peers. And I'm so, you know, I'm just so amazed at, you know, the improvements in terms of skincare in such a short period of time.
Okay.
And, yeah.
And has it been a learning curve, would you say, not just the beauty, but also the tech? Like, how involved are you with the technical side of everything?
Yeah, that was very hard, because obviously hiring our CTO, you know, is a key figure, and I was really lucky in that I hired our CTO 3 years ago, and he has just, you know, he was the right fit.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you've got to understand things like your tech stack and their experience and if they've worked in similar kinds of platforms. But again, it's very high level. I mean, there's by no means, I probably conducted a terrible interview to hire him. I mean,
can you spell HTML?
Oh my gosh, exactly. But you know what it was? Because I needed a partner, and the initial app that we launched with was terrible. Like, you know, we had to rebuild it.
And that was without the CTO, the initial.
And that was without the CTO.
How did you, to that MVP, how did you build it then? How did it come together?
So I used a third party agency on like the tiniest budget. I don't know if anyone would be able to do it today.
Okay.
And we built our back end system and this app. And
yep.
I remember like some of the first designs, you know, because I was like, oh, well, they can just do the designs as well. Honestly, like mistake on mistake on mistake. But whatever, you know, you figure it out. Some of the designs were so bad. They looked like, you know, a banking logo. And I just thought, oh, God.
No offense to any bankers listening.
No, it was just not beauty. Anyway, so we got there. And then, you know, I recognized that we needed someone in-house who could really help advise on the best steps.
And how do you go about finding a CTO? Because that's also... like one of the, even saying I was going to be recording this today, everybody's like, you know, where do you find that co-founder? Where do you find that CTO? Where do you find those senior early hires that you can trust? Because it's tough. It's like dating.
It's so tough. And I think particularly if you are starting up a company and are not as networked into
that
startup
industry,
communities, yeah. or the
and you were new to tech and the beauty at the same
exactly.
time, right? Yeah,
exactly. So I mean, if I had to find a CTO now, I think I'd find it easier because I've, you know, had experience and met lots of people who could help.
Share your secret. Where would you find them?
I would. Okay, so where I found Pete on a platform called Hired. Pete's
okay.
our CTO.
Yeah.
He was at Net-a-Porter for 5 years,
uh-huh.
so he was just, you know, really fantastic. And what that platform does is, you know, it's you know, offers such a great service and such great businesses for these tech people to join. I don't know how I got in there.
Shout
but
out to Hired. You should sponsor us.
Yeah, for sure. And so I found him that way. So, you know, obviously there's a cost to that. But because I didn't have the network, it was the only real way I could have gone.
Yeah.
That said, I've learned a lot more now. And there, you know, so right now we're actually on the Founders Factory Accelerator. And, you know, you can join their community and they've got a number of different candidates. So, you know, there's a whole industry around supporting startups has kind of come up. So there's definitely, you know, even Google Campus, it's where all of the, you know, all the startups,
cool
all the cool startup people hang out.
Like myself and Venetia.
Yeah. and then, you know, networking around those places as well. But it's definitely tough.
What's the biggest technical thing you've learned that you're like, if you look back 3.5 years, you'd be like, oh my gosh, as if I know X.
I mean, definitely how much longer it takes than you would ever imagine. And I think when I first started, I just thought it was a communication thing and that I wasn't communicating what we needed or that the developers were just being slow. And now I look back and I realize, because now I've become more tech literate through our multitude of meetings and conversations, you know, my CTO and I talk about exactly the sorts of steps that are needed. And now it's, you know, very clear. If you want to add something like credit on account, it's not a simple button that you press. It might take 2-3 days or even 2 weeks work if you want to make it really sophisticated.
Yeah.
And those things I just didn't know.
Have you, is there anything in the app that you've built with your own fair hands?
Oh my gosh, if only. No, no. But I should. I always have these ideas about little things. And you know, I probably, you know, panic my, you know, Pete, our CTO, you know, like, oh, for Halloween, we need moving spiders and stuff like that. So maybe I should do an animation course or something
you
and I'll just come in and
secret
and surprise him.
Don't
yes.
let Pete read this. No. Just like, just push him out the way and then just start tapping like in the Matrix. And
yeah.
And you know, like the spiders will be all over the screen.
Yeah. People like, what have you done? I'm also a real fan of an emoji.
Like, you should pay me more.
Yeah. I'm always like trying to get him to put an emoji in our apps and this and that, which we do.
Do emojis go with your aesthetic?
Yeah, and our email marketing.
Oh, okay.
Email marketing and our therapist-facing app, we use lots of emojis.
Do you? Mm-hmm. It took me a while to get onto emojis. I always thought they were a bit childish.
I think they are childish, but I most
don't know
certainly
that they
like
them anymore. I don't think they are.
I mean, I see, like, even now I see people putting like job specs together and each bullet point is an emoji.
Yeah, they're like a legit part of communication now.
Yeah.
It's like hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
They've like come back.
I know.
It's like digital hieroglyphics.
It's interesting how it's completely changed the way that we communicate.
I do sometimes think it's really funny because there's like a Unicode committee who are the ones that decide what the emojis should be.
Yeah.
And I know, like, initially they would have been like, ha ha ha, we're just enjoying ourselves doing this. Whereas now, like, the world depends on them.
Oh my gosh.
To make sure you have, like, ginger emojis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or, like, feet. I don't know if you saw recently, they brought out, like, feet emojis, so, like, the base of your foot.
Did they?
Yeah, but because they've done the skin colour ones and they've got them in all different skin colours, but the base of your foot doesn't really match your skin colour.
Oh my God, that is so funny. I always love looking at when there's been an update and thinking like what global movement is freaking out, because it might be like the avocado, like that, you know, you've got the avocado then the bagel, like, and people
because
are in uproar.
Everyone needs avocado emoji globally. That's like height of our needs. Where have we got to as humankind? Speaking of globally, you don't sound like you grew up in Cambridge.
No, I grew up in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved from Australia to London when I was 12. It was so much more of a shock than anyone ever realizes.
Yeah.
I got from my school in Australia, we were outdoors, like doing all these sports, going to the beach.
Not wearing shoes.
Not wearing shoes. Yeah. And then so we moved to London and my brother and I would hop down the road to the corner store.
With no shoes.
With no shoes. And all their mothers would come look out and be like, what are those kids
Wait,
doing?
You do that in London?
Yeah, well, we did, and then we quickly learned that was not the dumb thing.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. What part of London was that?
Like southwest.
And there wasn't stuff on the floor.
I don't know. We didn't really care. We weren't taught, you know. We just did it. So there was that, and then we used to play like baseball, and then everyone's playing rounders. I'm like, what is this like? In our like
rounders is so much better than baseball, though.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, I moved along to it, but no, it was definitely like it felt very funny.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So that was one transition. The other transition that you've been through, or actually maybe I'm assuming it's a transition. So the other thing that the little birdie called the internet told me was that you have scaled your business rather quickly and ended up having not only Mr. Bulgari himself, I don't know if he likes to be called that, it's probably not his surname, but the guy that used to run Bulgari was an investor.
Yes.
But 12 months later, you've now acquired something else.
Yes.
As part of your business.
Exactly.
Which, looking through, I was like, gosh, that's... I think there's one thing to be an entrepreneur that's trying to scale up and be on that side and being trying to get funding.
Yeah.
But it's also another thing to be someone that's like acquiring businesses.
For sure. I mean, and I think...
In 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Just not to be sniffed at.
No. I mean, it was a huge, huge feat for us to, you know, accomplish. And most certainly it was one of the most challenging things that we'd done. I mean, we... You know, it was required great negotiation with the company in question.
How do you even start something like that off? How are you like, we just started this, but actually I want you to be on this side?
It's actually, these conversations, it was never planned. I was definitely looking around for what to do to ensure we were being more strategic and gaining market share in London because it's competitive.
Like,
it's, we have to, you know, I realized at one point last year, I was like, there ain't no messing about. We either move forward or we're done.
Okay.
And so it all happened very organically over a coffee. I met with Charlie, the founder of the company Perfect 10, just to talk about the industry. I always love meeting people who are doing the same thing. I think, like, let's all just, you know, talk and get to know
Keep
each other.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Yeah, you got it. and then we were sitting opposite each other, and it was just, it became so clear that our businesses would be so complementary.
Okay.
We had all of the tech, you know, we'd built up kind of, you know, the marketplace, the client base, etc. And Charlie with Perfect 10 was essentially first mover. She launched 6 years ago, built her business. How she did it, I don't know, completely offline, really.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, okay.
And great network of incredibly high quality beauty therapists and, you know, sort of, you know, respective client base as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was looking for an opportunity. She wanted to do something different. She wanted to scale up with the tech and didn't necessarily want to do it on her own, or, you know, she would have if this conversation hadn't proceeded. But I think we realized that actually our skill sets were so incredibly complementary. And she's got, you know, great beauty background, you know, beauty therapist by training, built up her own business, is just, you know, she's sort of done everyone in the world, and they're like very, very, you know,
she
cool.
She hasn't done mine yet.
Oh, well, not,
she didn't do yours.
She didn't do mine. I should have a word.
You should.
But she, you know, she's trained under great brands and just really has a great understanding of the industry. And I recognize as well that we needed that help.
And then the mechanics. So the mechanics of it. So is she still part of the team then? Was it like an acqui-hire kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, an acqui-hire, exactly. So she's now come on as our COO, and she's, you know.
So she should really have done your nails then.
I know. Yeah. I need to sort that out next
time.
Tap
when you get back into the office. Okay. So she's still a part of the family then. So so that means you've, gosh, I don't know, maybe not doubled, but you've expanded the business, like, physically even more. It's like the quickest way to kind of build out your business, I guess.
Yeah. Definitely. Like, and
size, how big is the team?
Yeah. Oh, our team. Yeah. So we're 11 now.
Okay.
And then, so we have the 600 therapists.
Yeah.
You know, some of those were from Perfect 10, and then we, you know, increased our client base substantially very quickly. It was tough though, because I mean, I've never done an acquisition, never merged two companies, but you know, you just plan every step out. How are we going to do this? And you kind of muddle on and get there in the end. And we're really I mean, we didn't know how it would go, but we're really happy because our numbers have, you know, we accomplished the figures that we wanted because it was such a complementary, two complementary businesses. I think we were, you know, it worked and we had to recognize that first, but it was really tough, you know, bringing teams together, you know, communicating it to existing clients.
I can imagine,
changing all, you know, stuff like changing the phone number, changing the companies, ensuring that, accounts, all, you know, all that makes sense. I mean, it was,
and merging like the tech systems and all that kind of stuff in the background as well, I'm sure must have been
definitely
a big thing for your CTO to have to do,
for sure. And and just different ways of booking.
So what next in the journey?
So I think for us, we're looking internationally next. So I think Ruby is a fantastic model for you know, high density population centres like London or Paris or Dubai.
Anywhere else in the UK that works for you? I have to say, as an aside, so yeah. I run Stemet, and when we started off, we did a lot in London, we did a lot in the southeast,
yeah.
admittedly, because that's where the companies were that were tech companies that were interested in yeah. working with girls and young women. And over the years, we've got much better at leaving London and doing stuff outside of London, which has always been a thing for me where I'm a Londoner, I'm an East Londoner actually, yeah. not just any Londoner, I'm one of the best kinds of Londoners you can find. but I'm always conscious that so much happens in London, so much happens in East London
yeah.
in particular, because it's the greatest place on earth,
yeah.
that then no one else gets any of the awesome or any of the bits and pieces. So I'm always shocked, because Ruby is mainly based in London, mm-hmm. I'm always surprised by businesses that are London-centric.
Yeah.
And then Paris is the next place, or San Francisco is the next place. And it's like, I don't know if you've been to Leeds. I spent a lot of time in Leeds recently. Yeah. Leeds is like, it's slept on. It's a great city.
Yeah.
There's so much going on there. I know for Manchester as well, this isn't like a personal attack. This is just, you know, go cities that aren't
London. You've got to think about all options.
So alongside Paris, would you have considered something like Manchester or Leeds? Or is it more... you need like, I don't know, 6 million or more in the city for you to be able to, for your business model to work?
I think that definitely it's a question of, you know, population size and density of population and ensuring that like on-demand services will work rapidly. Mm. So there's that consideration. And there's also a consideration, because obviously every company has their kind of unique DNA. Mm-hmm. And for us, because we have such great links with a lot of the international hotel groups and also international beauty brands, being a relatively small company and not particularly well-funded company, we need to piggyback and leverage off those relationships that we have.
Would you be slightly better funded if you didn't acquire a company?
Oh, well, no, we'd be all right.
You would be.
Yeah.
Okay. Just had to ask the question.
No, we'd be all right.
So it's about population densities. And so will Glasgow or Edinburgh ever be somewhere that you'd, or Dublin?
Yeah, definitely.
You would.
Definitely. I mean, we, you know, I anticipate this to be a global business. You know, we want to be everywhere. I think, you know, our solution is something that really works on the customer facing side, but also for the freelancers, also for the therapists. You know, we're, you know, building out a whole network of clients that they can tap into very easily.
Yeah.
We offer them things like financial reporting. We offer bonus schemes. We offer free trainings. We offer support and professional development workshops. Mm. We do lots. And I think that as a result, you know, there's an opportunity for it everywhere. And
yeah, does the fact that it's a tech platform powering it mean that that's a reality more than this type of business would have been maybe 15 years ago?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, you can't have that much FaceTime with everybody. And so you've got to build in this, you know, sort of supportive features through an app. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think it's, you know, helped us grow and helped us build that community.
What's your piece of advice that you normally give people at a very early stage or idea stage?
So I'm always, you know, one... the idea that you have right now is not going to be the one that you end up with. So be open to the fact that it's going to change.
Yeah.
And in that moment of kind of defining out what it is and then, you know, building it and growing it as a concept, speak with every single person that you can, anyone who could help, anyone who has experience doing something like that, or even just, you know, people that you respect, admire, peers, and run it over a million times. So one, you can get learnings from people who can help. And two, you can refine it in your own head. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's hard to do that kind of thinking on your own.
5-year plan for Venetia. Where do you want to be in 5 years?
So I see myself still with Ruby.
I do.
I love this company. And I think we're finally, even though it's 3.5 years, now...
Okay. Let me pause. 20-year plan.
20, oh, 20. 20. Oh my God, 20. Far. I'm laying back with a margarita on the beach.
Like, and I'm there next to you.
Yeah. Yes.
Sipping on that gin and juice. Okay. Where do you think Ruby would be in like 15 years?
15 years. I mean, that's a very long time.
It is.
So I see us in, you know, being a global business that's created a platform that really does offer, you know, offer freelance beauticians an opportunity to build up their own businesses within the Ruby platform. So, you know, giving them access to clients, so, you know, all of those things that I said, professional development opportunities, you know, yeah. because as the world becomes, you know, more of an, you know, people are working for themselves, you know, they can use this sorts of technology to support them, whether it's through, you know, upskilling workshops yeah. and creating that whole kind of community there. Because as people move away from salons, as beauty professionals move away from salons, where is their support structure?
Do you think they will move away from salons?
I do. I really do. Yeah, I think that there'll be...
Do you think you'll ever get to a point where it's like your robot at home does it?
Oh, who knows? Your Alexa.
Yeah.
Well, oh my gosh, I actually met someone the other week who does the coolest product ever. So what she does is she prints like logos and images via a prima donna.
Really?
Yes, it's called Prima Donna. It's so cool. So yeah, maybe. I mean,
you should do that for Ruby.
I know, right?
R-U-U-B-Y.
Absolutely. Oh, a host of other little things.
Ruby.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
I was moving my hands.
I'm all for it. I'm
all
for a bit of nail art. To be honest,
is that your theme? Theme song.
Oh, that is our theme song. It absolutely is.
I remember what my final question was going to be. My final question is, you're very good at building businesses and creating Ruby and trying out new things and entering new industries.
Yeah.
What are you not good at?
What am I not good at? I have found, I mean, you know, there's always so many things that you think about, like, oh my gosh, I need to improve this, I need to improve that, because everything is new. Like, you know, building a business, I mean, I guess, you know, it's worked out. There have been a multitude of mistakes over the course of this
journey.
Which
are all part of the success,
right?
Yeah,
for sure. And I think for me, you know, I've found one thing that I found difficult and something that I really want to work on is building teams and management within
right,
that.
Okay.
So, you know, it's been... you know, I found that more challenging to sort of direct and you know, give people, you know, specific, you know, their KPIs and everything, because everything has been such a pivoting, you know, nightmare. Yeah. We've done this, we've done
it's
that, we've changed
strategy.
Yeah, and so it changes. Everything changes the whole time. And so I think what I'm trying to say, but is add more structure to that, you know, kind of a management way, is something that I've really, you know, worked hard to improve on.
I think I'm still working through that.
It's really hard. Yeah. It's really hard, especially, you know, when you haven't done it before and, you know, you're working in the unknown.
Well. Yeah.
Or you've not, you know, and it's being in that unknown. But, you know, there are plenty of tools and tips, and also
we're all, there are podcasts.
You know, we're human. You know, you kind of, you know, can learn from your experiences.
I always say that's my hardest thing, though. So because I'm technical,
yeah,
I'm always like, everyone's always like, what's been the hardest bit, or what's something that you struggle with? And I'm always like, I have to work with human beings. Like, they're not algorithms. So if you turn up today and you say hello, and you turn up tomorrow and you say hello, you'll get two completely different responses.
Yeah,
Literally, you don't know, you know, if their mum's sick or if their cat pissed on the sofa or whatever it might be, and so that person's in a completely different mood.
Yeah.
So managing them is even harder.
Yeah.
So I've decided now in my team I only manage two people and they manage everyone else.
Really? That's good.
Six.
Yeah.
Delegation.
Yeah, delegation. Delegation is good. And making sure that you can reap the benefits from that and focus on what you're good at. Mm. You know, and that's, you know, definitely a very good idea.
Thanks for coming.
That was great.
Thanks for Ruby-ing.
Oh my God, I know. I loved it.
Thank you very much, Venetia, for joining us.
Great.
That is the end of the podcast. See you next time.
Bye.
If you like this episode, subscribe to Women Tech Charge on Apple Podcasts. It would really help us if you rated and reviewed the podcast too. Venetia Archer has created App Ruby to let people book beauty appointments to their home, hotel room or office. Her entrepreneurial success has come from meeting people who have connected her to the right kind of people for technical and business growth. She's conquered the world with Ruby and she's going to sell carbonated coffee next. You can follow her on Twitter at Venetia Archer or on Instagram at Venetia_, and the spellings for that are in the episode notes. But you can also find out more about Ruby with two U's by going to Twitter and Insta and searching for Ruby App. I and Marie live on Twitter at aimafidon, good luck spelling that, and on Instagram at notyouraverageami, which is a little bit easier to spell. Get in touch.
have a chat, ask questions using the hashtag WomenTechCharge.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.